everybody, Rod Sloan here, and welcome to the March 2010 edition of the No Bull Business Radio Show. We delve even deeper into this whole concept of sales and marketing alignment. Now, before we get on today's guest, if you're not sure who I am and you'd like to check me out, the best thing to do is probably to go over to my LinkedIn profile, and I'm just online at the moment, so I'll just read that out to you. If you want to get a hold of me, if you go to LinkedIn and you key in uk.linkedin.com/in/ Rod Sloan. So I'm in the UK section, so that's uk.linkedin.com/in/ Rod Sloan, RODSLOANE. And you can connect with me. If you think this podcast is wonderful, please leave a recommendation. If you think it's shocking, please leave a recommendation. That's okay too. And if you don't understand a word I'm saying, the details of this will be in the show notes. Okay, so I'd like to make contact with you about the promotions that we're doing over at the No Bull Business Radio Show. Now, my guest today is Canadian. His name is John Cousineau, and he's the president at Innovative Information Inc. I wanted to speak to John because he's got some good ideas about the buyer-centric buying model, and he's got an interesting idea called Magic Moments, which I think would help. It's an entertaining interview, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to John Cousineau. So today I have on the line John Cousineau from Vancouver. Hello, John.
Good morning, Rod.
Good morning. Now, John is the president of Innovative Information. He's also a career systems thinking and numbers guy and spent over 35 years innovating uses of information and tools to get people faster and creating more value. And the firm's DNA is we make work fun by helping people understand and improve the impacts they're having. Is that all true, John?
Well, we're sure hoping it is.
Right. Okay. And the reason I'm calling you is that you're seen as somebody who has a particularly interesting take on this sales and marketing alignment discussion or process. What are your thoughts there, John, and particularly in how people perceive this whole concept of a buyer-driven sales process?
Well, Rod, there's a lot of talk these days about the buyer driven sales processes and how they're being enabled by some really exciting new technologies like marketing automation platforms. And I share that excitement, but it's a bit tempered, and it's tempered by the fact that sales productivity still remains a huge concern for CEOs. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a problem that not only is persisting, but some would claim it's actually getting bigger. I had a chat a couple of weeks back with Jim Dickey of CSO Insights, for instance, and he was sharing with me that their latest survey of CSOs shows that turnover on the sales team is finally slowing down, which is great news. Yeah. But it's because sales organizations have kind of concluded that it's better to keep their mediocre performers in 2010, for instance. And the reason they've done that is they've concluded it's better to have bad breath in the field than no breath at all.
Right.
And you know, you know, From my perspective, that's just a really, really odd approach to a really complicated and persistent problem.
Okay.
So my view is that it's actually that this whole issue of integrating sales and marketing is kind of aiming the integration. So from my perspective, the key to better integration of marketing and sales is aiming the integration efforts at the right issue. And in my view, that issue is sales productivity.
Okay.
You know, if we could fix that problem, everyone involved in it would be heroes.
Right. So, of course, there's a simple solution to that, isn't there, John? All we simply do is install the latest whiz-bang technology, and everything's hunky-dory. Would you agree with that?
No.
Okay. Should we stop then? Okay.
And I'm in the technology business, and I'm saying no. Right. I mean, part of the problem is that we've kind of forgotten that at the end of the day, if we want to have an impact on a problem, we've got to think about how people are behaving in ways that allow that problem to persist. Mm-hmm. And so as we've thought about the issue, our conclusion is that it's possible to do some really novel things with technology, but it's got to have an impact on how people behave, and it's got to change how people are spending their time.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know in your writing, you talk about this, you've developed this concept that you call magic moments, and you refer to three magic moments. Could you describe what a magic moment is, first of all, and could you give us some examples of how they might occur or how you could help create those, John?
Well, if you look, in my mind, sales productivity is a classic systems problem. That is, it's something that's not caused by any one thing. It's caused by several things happening all at the same time and interacting on each other. So from my perspective, there's three things that need to happen for the sales productivity problem to go away. The first thing that needs to happen is we need to create massively more helpful selling processes. Now, there's things that can be done to make that happen, and if we can do that, that becomes the first magic moment. Suddenly we have really helpful selling processes. And the first people to celebrate that, by the way, would be the prospects.
Okay.
The second kind of magic moment that, in my view, needs to be created to cause the sales productivity problem to go away is massively simpler user experiences for our sales reps. I mean, we're putting them essentially in 747 cockpits these days, mm-hmm. and asking them to fly airplanes that they really don't have that much of an inclination to want to fly. And I guess that would be the second magic moment, is if we could make the user experience for sales reps far more simple, they'd be much more inclined to want to fly the plane.
Okay.
And the third magic moment, from my perspective, is that if we can create really massively helpful selling processes and give reps an interface to these selling processes that are so simple to use, they use them all the time, and as a consequence, become exceptionally helpful to their prospects, the third magic moment is we need to find better metrics on how successfully sales reps are having an impact with their prospects. So three things: far more helpful selling processes, much simpler user experiences for the sales reps, and far better metrics on whether or not sales reps are having any kind of an impact from the effort they're investing.
Okay, John, you said the magic phrase there, keep making it simpler and keeping it simpler, and that certainly appeals to me. I class myself as a simple man. So let me ask you this then. If you were parachuted, if you were, you know, brought into a business, or you were consulting to a business who had a challenge with all of this, where would you start? Where would you go? What would you do first? Who would you speak to? What do you think is the starter process in all of this?
Well, it's a great question, and I mean it's I guess the ultimate question that companies ask themselves, especially in, you know, this time of the year when they're planning for 2010. Mm-hmm. Do you reorganize your sales force? Do you acquire technologies? Do you plan for more training? Do you modify your compensation schemes? I guess the thing that our firm's focused on is what could be done with available information and technologies to create essentially these three magic moments and create them all at once. Is it conceivable that we could take technologies that are out there in the marketplace today, run them through a mixmaster, and out the back end produce massively more helpful selling processes, massively simpler user experiences for sales reps, and massively better metrics on the impacts of sales efforts? That's what we're trying to do. And in the turn of the early of the new year, some companies that are actually interested in seeing if they can achieve a better integration of sales and marketing are going to be working with us to see if with these mixmaster results that we produced, they might actually be able to instrument their sales teams and get the kind of impacts that I'm describing.
So, John, have you seen anybody achieving results by sort of creating these magic moments then? Are there any success stories you can share?
Sure. A couple of examples. There's a company that sells enterprise software, for example. They were using our technology, and they sent a routine information update out to their prospects. One of those prospects showed an exceptional level of interest and very quick interest in what was being shared. The account executive phoned the CEO, said, "This looks like this could happen." Canadian CEO said, "Forget it. That fellow's not going to be the least bit interested. He's been in our funnel for 3 years. Account executive said, "No, this is exceptional. Leave it with me." And 10 days later and several conversations later, all supported using our product Amicus, they closed the deal for $1 million.
Wow. Okay. You can't trust what these CEOs say, can you?
Well, you know, everybody's busy, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's, you know, what people tell you can be incredibly misleading. Mm. But what people do is very telling. And prospects are just like the rest of us. They're not going to bother to read materials that are of no interest to them. And the better job sales reps of giving information to their prospects that's actually really good, sharp answers to questions the prospects have asked, the higher the odds are the prospects are going to go on to read the materials.
Okay.
And if prospects read materials, the logical thing in our model to do next is to phone them back and see if it was what they were looking for. The reality is when you call them back, you're not calling back about the content. You're calling back to see if you were as helpful as you hoped to be. And at the end of the day, the reps that are exceptionally helpful are going to be the ones who get exceptional numbers of deals to close.
Okay. John, if people want more information about what you do, John, where should they go? Do you have any online resources they can see or read?
Yeah, if they'd like to read about the ideas behind the product design, Rod, the best place to do so is on my blog. They can go to blog.innovativeinfo.com. The other place where they can pick up information about the product itself is from our company website. They can access that at amacus.innovativeinfo.com.
John, I'd like to thank you for your time and patience today. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, Rod.